appreciative of my pastor. I'm appreciative of who we have here tonight. It's always a great reflection of your leadership, and when they could step away, how many of those who come and are faithful and will show up. And I can think of few other things that would honor him more than if we were to continue in our walk with God in his absence, if we decided that we are going to be more faithful and we are going to pick up slack and we're going to find more of what we can do and how we can bless the kingdom while he is away doing another work in another ministry. So I want to encourage you guys, you know, while he is away, that we are praying with him, that we are fasting for the mission trip that's going on here. But we are saying, God, Lord, what can I do here in Cleveland? How can I be a blessing? How can I do more and show out, you know, during this time so that there is no misbeat? A new person comes in. They don't know when the pastor is here or not. They just need to know that the Spirit of God is here and is ready. And that comes when we prepare ourselves in prayer. He said, Lord, give someone in my heart that I can talk to today, oh God. Put someone on my mind, oh God. Give me the words to say, oh God, how can I be a blessing? So I'm just appreciative that we can all make it here tonight. Today I want to talk about, we have a small sermon series, Cross My Heart. And we just want to talk about the things of the heart. Cardiologists use a procedure called an arteriogram to diagnose the health of a patient's heart. It's an X-ray of the arteries taken after a dye is injected into the bloodstream, allowing doctors to pinpoint blockages in the arteries that serve as conduits carrying blood from the heart. But apart from an arteriogram, a life-threatening heart problem can go undetected for years. An individual who has blockage will experience symptoms, but these symptoms may not seem to be directly associated with the heart itself. Arterial blockage can manifest itself through back pain, inability to sleep, anxiety, loss of appetite, indigestion, nausea, vision change, loss of memory. Somebody thinks they have artery problems right now. I have like three of those. Easy. And sometimes when we're having an issue with just one part of our body, the symptoms or individual symptoms don't quite make up the total picture of what's going on, and it's not necessarily an easy thing to kind of diagnose and realize this is a heart issue I am having. These symptoms are often treated as isolated issues unrelated to the health of the heart, and the right medications can take the edge off most of these symptoms. The problem, of course, is that treating these symptoms masks the real culprit, and it actually delays treatment of the problem, thus leaving the problem to worsen. The issue is the heart, but because we are diagnosing a back problem for our back pain, we are never at the core issue or the core root of what is going wrong in our body. So while we are taking care of a symptom, while we are working on a symptom, our heart is worsening, our heart is getting worse before we find out what's going on. Physical heart disease parallels spiritual heart disease. See, you have another heart. It's that invisible part of you that philosophers, poets, preachers refer to all the time. It's that thing that got broken in ninth grade when what's-her-name said she just wanted to be friends. Been there. Boom. Okay. It's that that part that swells up with pride when you see your kids do something great. That thing that gets all nostalgic when you hear an old song from your dating days. The mysterious, wonderful, confusing part of you that enables you to love, laugh, fear, and experience life. The sphere in which relationships happen and in which relationships are broken. We are also tempted to treat the symptoms that stem from an unhealthy spiritual heart while ignoring the deeper issues. But as in the case with the physical heart, eventually, the root problem will become the real problem. Just as a heart attack has the potential to destroy your body, so spiritual heart disease has the potential to destroy you and your most valuable relationships. Life can be hard in the heart because the world is full of outside influences that have the power to disrupt its rhythms. Over time, you develop habits that slowly erode your heart's sensitivity. We're in a world where there are constant things that are affecting us. They change our moods. They change how we feel about certain things. Sometimes just influence of the constant, the same thing, can even tend to change the way our heart felt in a direction of something. We are living in a world full of influences, whether they be good or bad, and there is a toll on your heart and how you are feeling and how you live life in certain ways. The inevitable pain and disappointment of life cause you to set up walls around your hearts. At the end of the day, your heart gets out of sync with the rhythm it was created to maintain, and it left alone. These heart attackers will linger for a lifetime and do incredible damage. We have influences in our lives that we don't even realize are influencing our lives. They are just small influences that we don't address. They're just small things that we just seem to ignore and block out. We don't realize that they are adding up and making a big picture of ourselves, slowly changing that rhythm of our hearts that we once had. The reason we really stopped to monitor our hearts is that it was never encouraged. As children, we were taught instead to monitor our behavior. If we behave properly, good things happen, regardless of what was going on in our hearts. We modified our behavior to avoid pain. I have a 2-year-old. When she does something that I don't want her to do, I will give her a spanking. I am literally modifying behavior. She does the funniest thing right now. She has a hard time eating her food. She just loves to sit there, and she'll sit there for an hour, 2 hours, just playing with her food, talking amongst herself, and all I want her to do is eat your food. Now it's been bedtime for like 30 minutes. Sophia, eat your food. So it's gotten to the point where I've had conversations with her. I said, Sophia, if you don't eat, so I'm going to spank you. And she tested me, and I showed her I would do it. So I gave her little spankings. I pulled the tray out, and I put it over my knee, and I would spank her, and I put her back down, and she'd cry, give her a second, and I'd tell her to eat. And after a couple rounds of that, she understood what was expected of her, the behavior that was expected. Now, there are times when she still wants to play with her food. And she does this. She does the funniest thing. I had someone over my house, and she was playing with her food. I said, Sophia, eat your food. If I tell you again, I'm going to spank you. And, of course, she was playing with her food, and I stood up. And she looks over. She says, don't do it, Daddy. Don't do it. So, obviously, I can't laugh like you guys all did. I had to hold it deep down inside. And I said, Sophia, you need to eat your food. And I turned away and I laughed as quietly as I could. And she still wasn't eating her food. So I went forward and I went to go grab that tray. And she knows when I go to grab that tray, I'm going to move it aside and spank her. And she grabs the tray. I want to eat. I want to eat. It really is like the funniest thing. But she's learning a behavior. She understands there's consequences. And that's how we teach. Consequently, we become much better at monitoring our behavior, actions, and words than our hearts. See, if that's all however I taught Sophia for the rest of her life, she would understand how to behave, at least around me. But there is a heart issue, and as she grows, there are conversations that are going to happen because we're not raising her to behave a certain way. We're raising her to think about life a certain way and to consider the consequences of her actions and consider what's right and what's wrong. And then what happens at times when we're only modifying behaviors, we begin to pretend. But pretending all the time can be problematic because it allows you to ignore the true condition of your hearts. Eventually your hearts, the real you, will outpace your attempts to monitor and filter everything you say and do. The unresolved issue in your heart will eventually work their way to the surface. So these are things that I'm trying to teach my daughter behaviorally, and then understanding what right and wrong is, so that she's just not living in a world where she's just trying to modify her behavior to get along. Because who you are will come out. Specifically, who you are that comes to the surface, it will seep into your actions, your character, in your relationships. If your heart continues to go unmonitored, things will worsen to the point that you are no longer able to contain it with carefully managed words and behaviors. Maybe you already noticed things starting to slip. Maybe you've always been able to contain your anger, but lately there's an edge in your voice that scares even you. You know you should be happy about things going good that happened to your friends, but for some reason you're not. You're not happy for them. In fact, you can't even begin to resent them for it, for what they've received and what they're doing and where they're going. You behave like everything is okay, but it's not. These are merely symptoms of a deeper struggle. Your heart is under assault, and it could be that you are losing primarily through neglect because you have not been monitoring it closely. Evidence of internal battles include statements like, "I can't believe I did that." I've said those. "I can't believe I just said that." That's like a big portion of my life. "I can't believe I just said that." "That's not like me." Or even later on, "That's just the way I am." Or, "I just lost it." I don't know where that came from. These are all different things that we can kind of start to say out loud and say to ourselves as different behaviors start to come out that are not typically ours, because we've worked so hard at monitoring behaviors. When I'm here, I must behave this way. I must act according to this way. This is what people expect of me. But when you are not monitoring your heart and those things start to seep to the surface, you are going to notice. And you're going to say to yourselves, "I don't know where that came from." So where did that come from? It came from your heart. You think your mistake was an exception, and in one way it was an exception to your general rule of not allowing what's in your heart to be exposed to the rest of the world. But in reality, that embarrassing mistake was not an exception to what is in your heart. It was a reflection of it. Have you ever heard of this? "He's got a good heart." You've seen somebody do something wrong and just somebody, but he's got a good heart. "Oh no, I know he messed up, but he has such a good heart." Wrong. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" That's what the Bible says about our hearts. The people closest to you routinely catch the flak thrown off by the explosive stuff you work so hard to keep hidden. The people closest to us, they're the ones who are going to see some of those extra stuff. They're the first people who are going to notice those differences and changes in your behavior. See, the stuff you try to keep hidden, those explosive moments, they don't normally come out to those casual acquaintances or social settings. It comes out to those who are close to you when you've turned off that safety valve and let down your defenses. That is why we actually hurt most people we love most. We are mad but don't know why. We are discontent but can't find no real reason to feel that way. We're resentful toward certain types of people, though they have done nothing to deserve it. We are jealous while knowing all the time that it is foolish to dislike somebody just for having something that we don't. None of these things makes any sense, but they are real. I felt those things. I'm sure you felt those things. I'm sure we've had to fight through those things. And if left unchecked, they have the potential to drive us into self-destructive and relationship-wrecking behavior patterns. Your heart seeps into every conversation. It dictates every relationship. It impacts the intensity of your communication. It exaggerates your sensitivities. Ever seen somebody blow nothing out of proportion? It exaggerates your insensitivities. Somebody just don't care what you're going through, makes light of it. Maybe even disrespectful toward it. Everything passes through your heart. People have even developed language to describe it when things get lodged in their hearts. They'll say things like, "I'll never let anyone hurt me like that again." Out of their mouth pours the junk connected to a wounded heart, and they will insist that you are the problem. Hurt people, hurt people. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Your mouth serves as a stethoscope to listen to what your heart is saying. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Heart issues make intimacy difficult to maintain because intimacy revolves around knowing and being known. Secrets can damage the heart because they make us build walls in our relationships. That's because we usually suspect in others what we are guilty of ourselves. Sometimes these unresolved hurts run so deep that they can erase a person's faith in God. And we've seen that. We probably have testimonies of that. Hurts that are just so hard, wounds so deep. They just can't believe in a God who would let that happen to them or to someone they love. How are things with your heart? Not your career, your family, your reputation, not your finances, your heart. It's an awkward conversation. When I'm talking to somebody, I get to know them. You know, hey, how you doing? You know, so what do you do for work? You know, tell me about your family. How's your heart? Nobody has those kind of questions. We wouldn't even answer those questions. Good? How's your heart? Great. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We need more than a sophisticated filter for our behaviors. We need a new heart. Christianity is not about behaving, or is not about just having a Christian filter when we're at church, or a Christian filter when we're at work, maybe. It is about getting a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart will also I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Only God can give us a new heart. Know that he gave this promise to people who already had God's list of top 10 behaviors to guide them. He gave them laws, commandments. He says, do not do these things. But now he's talking about more than just behavioral filtering. We must have a new heart. But clearly it wasn't enough for them, for Israel, because to know what to do. They needed to change from the inside out in order to follow through. People can say, doctor, fix my heart so I won't be so tired, then I'll exercise. Well, no, the answer is exercise, and it will fix your heart. Sometimes we're looking at the problem completely backwards. How long do you plan to let people and circumstances that have hurt you control you? We all have hurt. We all have people who have hurt us. We all have situations that have frustrated us, that we are mulling over, that we are just holding on to. Pastor said this multiple times, how long are we going to give them rent in our minds? These problems, the situation. So how long are we going to hold on to these? Let's pick a date, right? But more than just praying this prayer, oh God, help me resolve this, but making a decision, this is not going to affect me. I'm going to move forward. I can be used of God. This hurt doesn't define me. I know I made mistakes and failures, but I don't have to hold on to that. I can move forward in loving God. It's more like, oh God, help my hurt heart. It's more like, God, Lord, I'm making a decision right now that I'm going to move forward, and this hurt cannot hold me. This hurt cannot keep me back any further. Lord God, you have something planned for my life that is bigger than my pain and my suffering. But it's what we do, though. We decide that we're going to hold on to it. I'm just so mad at that person for what they did, or I'm so embarrassed by the situation, I can never show my face again. So how long is it going to take for us to let it go on? Are we going to give it a day? Are we going to give it a week, a month, a year? Are we going to hold on to these things for a decade? Maybe right before the day we die. Do we decide that we're just going to hold on to everything? Is everything okay with your heart? Are you angry at anybody? Are you waiting around for someone to come to make things right with you? Have you had any extended imaginary conversations with anyone lately? I can't believe. I told you that. I do that in the bathroom sometimes. Right from the mirror, just angry. Had that conversation. I haven't told my wife. That was a secret. That's what I'm doing in the bathroom. Do things come out of your mouth on a regular basis that you have to apologize for? I say a lot of dumb things. If you hear me and my wife, I spend a lot of time just apologizing. We were having a conversation. I forget what the conversation was. I wasn't even listening. She was kind of talking at me. And she was excited about something, and instead of being excited for her, I said, you know what? I heard something. I want to tease her about it, and I just went in, and I just started making fun. I don't even know what I was talking about. I just know I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny, and she looked at me. She goes, "Just hey, turn off Rob for 5 minutes. I am so sorry. We do these things where we find ourselves apologizing because we're just saying the wrong thing sometimes. I shouldn't have blurted it out. I said it so harshly. Why did I behave this way? This did not necessitate this reaction from me. So now we're apologizing for things. Have we secretly celebrated someone's failure in the last several days? Oh, he got what he deserved. Good for him. She had that coming. Do we have any secrets that are eating at us? Is there anything going on that you hope nobody discovers? And then is there a question that you hope nobody asks you? Have you lied recently to somebody that you love? There are all sorts of feelings that we have that we're sorting through, but oftentimes all we do is we are just focusing on that one symptom and we are not getting at the cause of a root problem in our hearts. We are holding on to something, whether you hurt somebody and I feel ashamed, or I made a mistake or I'm embarrassed, or somebody hurt you and you just don't want to forgive. Here are some feelings: guilt. If you're feeling guilt, if I'm feeling guilt, I owe you a confession. That may heal some of that problems of your hearts. If I am feeling anger towards you for something, then you know I might owe you forgiveness. If I am feeling greed right now, and I just don't want to, if I'm just feeling greedy and selfish, I may need to say, you know what, I need to give. And I need to be a little more selfless right now. If I am feeling jealousy, and I'm thinking, God, you owe me this, owe me that. Maybe our answer is saying, Lord, I'm so happy for them. Lord, thank you for blessing them. But the problem is that we never ever get to the point where we're diagnosing what the issues of our heart are. We're just going to think that we're just frustrated. We're angry. We're agitated. What I wanted to do this week is just take the time and reflect on some of the symptoms that we have been exhibiting, whether we realize it or not. And then do we give it a moment to dig deep and say, Lord, what is at the heart of the problem? Because when we don't diagnose the heart, when we are only trying to alleviate some of these symptoms, that could turn us away from God. That could turn us away from joy, from happiness. It could turn us away from being content in our lives with where we're at right now. It can stop us from just enjoying the families that we have right now, enjoying the friends that we have right now, because we are so caught up and we never took the time to say, Lord, what is really going on with me? Well, I can't act like I can't believe he just got that promotion. Hey, great. Yeah. Good for you, pal. Can't believe he got that promotion. Or maybe do we say, Lord, why am I so upset? Why can't I just be happy for him and say, you know, Lord, he worked hard for that. And Lord, you know what? I don't want his blessing. I want mine. I don't want the blessing that you had planned for him. I want the blessing that you have planned for me. Let me just tell you this about jealousy, okay? You don't even know what to do with that person's blessing. It wasn't meant for you. You're not going to take it where it needs to go. You're not going to grow that blessing. You're not going to be able to facilitate through your blessings for others. That blessing wasn't meant for you. So to be jealous over that blessing does only hurt you. Because all it does is it puts that sourness in your heart and it stops God from giving the blessing that he's intended for you. Are we diagnosing the problems of our heart? Or are we just playing with the symptoms? Can we just stand for a moment? I just want to give a quick prayer. Lord God, I love you today, oh God. Because, Lord, you've shown us what love is by loving me. I'm so thankful, oh God Almighty, Lord, for teaching and for truth, oh God. I'm so thankful, oh God, that you, oh God, chosen to work with me, oh God, and to love me and to know me, oh God. And I don't have to settle, oh God, for alleviating symptoms, oh God. I could draw closer to you, oh God, by finding and getting to the roots of the problem, the situation. And there you have my answer, oh God, and you have my blessing, oh God. Help me this week, oh God, to be sensitive, oh God, to where you're trying to lead me, oh God. Help me, oh God, work with my heart, oh God, and give me a new today, oh God, so that I can love you, oh God, and that I can receive the love that you have for me. Lord God, I give you glory and I give you honor, oh God, because you are worthy. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, thank you so much for coming out tonight. We have about 3 or 4 more series for Cross My Heart. I encourage you guys to come on Wednesdays and be a part of it. You are dismissed. Thank you.